announcements there. We also have a few other announcements this morning. First, youth, or parents, grandparents, guardians of youth. It is time to get those work project forms in, so please hand them in to the office. Also, a note about great things going on this summer. We are having a GPC family campout right here in the backyard. There are signups on the kiosk. We're looking for folks who love to sing, play games, also, of course, eat. So let us know if you're going to come and if you'd like to be involved in organizing some of the activities. A few other announcements. Roy, go ahead.
Good morning. As always, we're so excited to see what's going to happen with special music over the summer. At this point, our sign-up sheet contains still more blank spaces than full spaces, and I know that there are a number of you who have indicated interest or have been discussing finding a date to sign up. If you are trying to find a date and would like to pencil your name in on two and figure out which one is going to be later, that's absolutely fine. You can talk to myself or Jeannie Bauman if you have any questions about when a date might work, but it's back on the kiosk, and once again, we look forward to some of you sharing your talents and gifts with us musically over the course of this summer.
Good morning. I bet you'd be surprised if I told you that we're already working on our Jamaica mission project with our seniors for 2018, but that's the truth. So we have a new fundraiser that I'm here to talk to you about briefly and then also maybe solicit some of your help. So we found the ability to go and work at the Red Wings games and earn a portion of the profit at the food vending areas. What we have to do is sign up for a particular place like Mama Mitzi's Pizza or Poppin' Hot's or Mini Melts, and we work it as a volunteer group. We're able to put our donation buckets out, and we actually have had one night where we went and we got quite a few donations. We are looking at somewhere between 6% and 7% of the profit coming towards our youth based on the hours that we work. What's the catch? The catch is that we need a few more adults than we do youth, and we are signed up for several games. So if you're interested in donating some of your time, because this is a way for us to get funding from the outside community and not come to all of you to open your wallets, but just your time, if you could come and see me or Katie or Melissa, and we can give you more information. Immediate need, this Thursday, I'm looking for two adults and a youth. And an adult is 20 years and older. So some of our young adults are eligible as well. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm talking about Church Mouse Bazaar, which, again, isn't until November. But I know in your bulletin it says that the craft applications are available. We actually filled all the spaces already as of yesterday. So. Yay! I actually have to turn people away now, so at this point, don't keep telling your friends to send them in, but if they want to be on the list for next year, you can still give them my name and email, and I can get them, or phone number, and I can get them on the list for next year, but we are full for this year.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Next Sunday, for those who would like an opportunity to learn more about my trip to Israel-Palestine, I think we're going to hold the second hour here in the sanctuary. We'll have a bigger screen and I think more room for folks to view. So you are welcome to stay. That'll be next Sunday. I also got a message from Sally Christensen and the mission team. They want to thank all the volunteers who came out yesterday to help with the distribution of the food link truck and the food. The truck arrived a little late. Our volunteers were on time and continued to have great smiles about that. And more than 58 families were served here in our neighborhood. So thanks for all the volunteers who showed up and who stayed until the end. We will have another opportunity to distribute food here from our own parking lot. That'll take place in August. More information on the kiosk. Friends, let us now join our hearts and our minds, our entire selves, to worship God. Join me in the call to worship. Here we are, the people of God, gathered from all over this community.
We have come to hear the good news.
And to learn more about being God's people.
We have come, for we are in need of God's goodness.
We have come looking for his guidance and deliverance from what holds us back from living full and vital lives. We have come because God longs to encounter us and enfold us in love. We have come to worship God. Let us worship together.
Thank you.
might remember, a month or so ago, as a congregation, we gathered to celebrate with the confirmation class. One of the things that they asked us to do was to share our prayers of confession, and we wrote them down on those pieces of paper. They also asked that they, at a later time, be shared with the congregation. Here are your confessions. Let us pray together. Holy God, we confess we fall into distractions and lose focus on what you have made good. We spend too much time thinking about what is next instead of appreciating the moment. Forgive us. We are impatient, judgmental, and short-tempered. Forgive us. Anger and resentment settle over us as we try to please everyone. Forgive us. God of life, we confess we do not fully live into our lives as you would have us do. Thank you for your forgiveness each day and for never giving up on us. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are forgiven. Amen. And at this time, I invite the children to come forward. I know there are some of them. Come on. So I have a friend today who is sharing with you the thoughts for children, so she might also be related to some of you, and she might be some of your friends. You know this girl over here? Meredith. All right. I'm going to turn it over to her.
Good morning. For some of you, school's almost out. How many days do you guys have left?
Are you related to that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys have any summer plans, going to grandparents or camping trips?
What are you guys doing?
Ooh, fun Adirondacks. What are you going to take with you when you go on your trip? What do you guys need? Clothes, water, yep. All good things. So today in the Bible, we're going to hear a story about how Jesus sends his friends, or his disciples, out on a road trip. But it is kind of a strange trip, because he doesn't exactly tell them where to go, and says they don't need to pack a suitcase. He wants them to go out, to help people along the way, and share with them about God's love. Jesus is honest with them. Not everyone is going to want to hear about God. Some people won't believe God's love is real. Some people will ignore them. But there will be people whose lives are changed forever by hearing and believing in God's love. Jesus asked the disciples to trust that God will always be with them, no matter where they go, just like God is with us wherever we go this summer. Let's pray. Dear God, be with us. In these last days of school and on our adventures this summer. Amen.
Thank you so much. All right. Guess what, guys? No more Sunday school. So, if you're a little person and your mom, dad, grandma, or grandpa wants to take you down to the nursery, they can. Or you can go back and sit with them and stay for as long as you want because, you know, it's your church. All right.
Appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that may refresh you, and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took the curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh."
Jesus.
gospel reading for this morning comes from Matthew. Then Jesus went about all of the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. And these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. You received without payment, so give without payment. Take no gold or silver, copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone does not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet and leave the house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. You see, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Beware of them. They will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. And when they hand you over, don't worry about what you are to speak, what you're to say, or what you are to say you will be given at that time, for it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother and sister will betray one another to death, father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." So a typical telltale sign that I might be feeling a bit uncertain or nervous about unknown situations is my tendency to plan, and prepare. When I'm traveling, this usually translates into overpacking. So I'm not sure why I was surprised when I hoisted my bag onto the scale at check-in and the Delta employee affixed this bright orange tag marking it heavy and said, 50 pounds, you just made it. I'm like, what could possibly be in there, I wondered. Of course, the airline attendant looked at me like I was crazy, because how was she supposed to know? She didn't want to know, just making sure there were no flammables. And when I arrived in Israel 15 hours later, I unpacked the suitcase and I pulled out, bottle of laundry soap, that's not too heavy, 4 pairs of shoes, 12 skirts, 7 boxes of over-the-counter medication, because, right, you never know. But I decided that it was the 4 books, they were assigned covering the political and theological context in Israel and Palestine. They were supposed to help me to get ready for the trip. But they just might have put me over that 50-pound mark. Just maybe. So I'm pretty sure I would not have cut it as one of the early disciples being sent out by Jesus for ministry if the criteria included leaving my bag and sandals at home. From his own experiences out in the cities, in the towns and the villages, Jesus knew something that the disciples and I did not. That no amount of packing and preparing will prepare you for what you will see and hear and feel when you are sent out into the world on God's mission. And how true this would be for me in my first few days in Israel. Those beginning days, we set out not far from where we were staying. It was just a short distance on the outskirts of Jerusalem to checkpoint 300. This is the opening in the wall that offers crossing for Palestinians in Bethlehem, which is considered to be the West Bank, over to Jerusalem, where people work and worship and visit with family and friends. We wound our way through this maze of what reminded me as cattle stalls, our little group from the U.S., and we had no trouble entering the West Bank. But our group leader assured us, getting into the West Bank is not difficult. Getting back into Israel is a bit more of a challenge. And a conversation with our cab driver from Bethlehem, he shared with us that many Palestinians arrive to the checkpoint at 2:30 in the morning to be first in line and to avoid the suffocating conditions of overcrowding and harassment. Our return trip did prove not to be quite as calm. We hastily had run through the streets of Bethlehem back to the checkpoint as some unrest began to stir, because we knew that checkpoints can sometimes be shut down for hours. And obviously, we were not the only ones that had this thought. And as I was standing in one of these long lines, I noticed behind me a Palestinian mother with her 2 young daughters. I noticed right away because first the girls were about the same age as mine, and the youngest was playing with one of those fidget spinners that are everywhere, literally halfway across the world. These things are everywhere. And we were ushered through the metal detectors. The girls walked through, and the mother was stopped. And I watched the girls back up against the wall as they watched their mother remove bracelet and then a necklace. She walked through again and heard those beeps and saw the lights flashing. And this time a soldier came out, the large gun draped down around his body and that metal detector wand in his hand. He asked her to raise her dress to her knees to remove her hijab. But what I was watching was the face of those girls, worried about their mom and what might happen next. And that mom kept her eyes on those girls, not on the checkpoint soldier. You could tell she was communicating with her eyes for them just to be calm, that everything would be okay, but their faces told such a different story. They had seen for themselves that there were many times at the checkpoint everything wasn't okay. And in these brief moments of all of this transpiring and me being ushered out the other way, the compassion I felt for this mother, her children, it just churned inside of me. I know you've had this feeling before. It's not that emotion that rises up to your head, one where in that moment I could have analyzed and made sense of how checkpoints and harassing young families doesn't make anyone feel safer. None of the books were going to help me here. And you know, that feeling of compassion, it didn't even settle into my heart, where empathy for a mom at my age, or sorrow that these kids have to go through all of this, reside. This feeling went deeper, embodied into the very core of my being. That feeling stayed with me on the rest of my trip in Israel-Palestine, and I've carried it home with me, not exactly sure yet what I'm going to do with all of this unsettledness that remains. But I find comfort is not the right words, but some solidarity in knowing that this feeling of compassion is what the gospel writer calls our attention to this morning. There's a lot of verses, but right there at the beginning, Jesus went out into the cities and the villages, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing diseases and every sicknesses. And he didn't pity the people. He didn't treat them like a project to be solved or fixed. The gospel writer says that Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion for them. And we are tempted to locate that experience of compassion in our hearts, but I love what the Greek translation here does for us to help us really get at where this feeling resides in our body. So the Greek translation is pronounced, this is a mouthful, splanknizomai. Got it? Splanknizomai. Splagna is another word. You can almost feel it when you say it with your mouth, where it goes splagna. It means your internal organs, your innards, splagna, your bowels, what we might refer to as guts. Literally, the word compassion that the New Testament writer here uses of Jesus' experience is that he was disturbed in his guts. That when Jesus saw the crowd, those with disease and sickness, the harassed and helpless, the compassion he embodied came from deep. This is the same language used to describe Jesus' response to the hungry crowds who had not eaten for 3 days following him. His experience with the blind men on the streets of Jericho and the woman in Nain who was preparing to bury her son. When Jesus encountered people, he had this spiritual vision to see the river of hurt and pain flowing beneath the surface when people are afraid or suffering. He saw beneath the surface of people who get entangled in degrading relationships because they fear being alone. He could see through the shield of those who want to just shut everyone out, terrified of being hurt again. Jesus understood why some people worked themselves to death trying to prove they are worth something. Jesus, of course, can see beneath all of our adult pretense and posturing, hidden under the sands of time where we are still somewhere deep down, little boys and girls, let down and confused, hurt and angry, wounded and afraid, running from the only one where the authority for healing comes from. And I believe that Jesus could also see the layers of injustice happening there in those towns and those cities. You see, later in the week, when our guide brought us through yet another checkpoint in Jerusalem to the Shafat refugee camp, one of the most overcrowded places in the world, he kept saying, "I did not bring you here to see the poverty. You can see that in your own country. See and feel deep inside you the injustice, the physical, political, societal barriers that kept the crowds and their suffering at a distance behind walls, the harassed and the helpless, made sick by contaminated water they are forced to pay for, yet only have access to for a few hours, inflicted with the effects of systemic racism and hatred that insisted that people are to be feared and not valued. Jesus could see the hurt and the heartache, the disease and discouragement. And he could feel that pain, our pain, like a punch in the gut. And it's from that place that he was motivated to action, that he did something about it, that he gave a glimpse of God's kingdom, a preview of all that God wants to do in every human life and for all eternity in this world, bringing about healing and hope and restoration. And through this compassionate response to the suffering, Jesus embodies this instruction to his disciples. You go. You are my body out in this world. Go. His actions demonstrate the instructions about the work, the travel of the disciples, and all those who will follow him and allow God to continue to work through them in this world. And this is our charge as the church today. Because we don't always have the options to hide behind what is comfortable, what is planned and overly packed. Jesus sends us out into this world to be open and willing for our guts to be disturbed and transformed for the work of God in the world. May it be so now and always. Amen. like that hymn needs another amen, too.
That's a good one.
We come bringing all that we are, knowing that God indeed welcomes us, all parts of our lives, our joys, our concerns, where we are celebrating and where we are struggling. If you have a prayer you'd like to share aloud, raise your hand, and Usher will bring a microphone over. See one over there.
Good morning, Bridget Wohlers. I ask for continued prayers for my dear friend Erin. Her mom has had ovarian cancer for the last 2 years, and they've had to make some really tough decisions this weekend. Thanks.
Prayers for Erin and her family.
Linda Sidori. I just ask prayers for my mother-in-law. She had a fall Friday and broke her hip and had surgery yesterday, and she has a little dementia. It's very confusing and scary for her.
Prayers for your mother-in-law, Linda.
Good morning. Gary Deggs. Couple joys this week. Well, June is a busy month, but one, my child graduates this week, and which is a huge joy. The other, my wife and I celebrate 25 years. So.
Congratulations.
I would also like to give a message of congratulations to my wife and I, who are celebrating our 40th anniversary today.
Congratulations.
We're grateful for all the ways you have cared for us in the last year as we've gone through some challenges. So praise be to God.
Amen. Matt, sounds like we've got some catching up to do. Our anniversary is on Friday. I won't tell you how many years.
Many of you maybe not know Phyllis Titus, who's my longtime 65-year-old friend. Daughter and I are having problems. Where does she go next? What a way to end up life. She's an independent and have to find where do we go from here. So pray that something good will work out for Phyllis. Thank you.
Prayers for Phyllis. And we also surround Carol, Kathy, and her family in prayers with Tom's death this week. Any other prayers? Let us continue our time together. We come before you, gracious God, with joyful and grateful hearts. We adore you, not primarily what you have done for us, but for who you are, creator of all the world and source of abundant life, redeemer of all peoples, word made flesh, sustainer of all time, and source of eternal love. We thank you that you have come among us as our advocate and companion, and you remain with us. On this day, we are especially grateful for the gifts of fathers, the gifts of being one, and also for those whom we miss. We thank you for the many ways that our fathers have shaped us, for their example and their love. We also pray this morning for those who have painful relationships with their dads, those who are estranged from them, and fathers who are estranged from their children. God, we pray for those who are unwilling and unable to accept the responsibilities of fatherhood. And we pray for the fathers who are mourning the loss of their children. God, please be with all of our fathers. Continue to pour into them your love and life. We also come before you, merciful God, with heavy hearts that every month of this year there has been more than one mass shooting in this nation. As we remember the victims of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando who died 1 year ago, we heard of the congressional representatives and employees at a UPS facility. We hear of the acquittal of the officer who killed Philando Castile. Once again, holy God, we cry, how long? How long, O Lord? We mourn tragic situations and injustice taking place around the world. Open our hearts and our hands and our guts to compassionate response. Shine your light to all who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace. All this we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship and offer back to God a portion of the abundance that God has shared with us.
Much work to be done, far more than we have ever imagined. We ask that you bless these gifts and that they be used for the work you have set before us, for we place our lives in trust in you. Amen.
Thank you.
Since we go out into this world assured of God's grace and love that surrounds us in all that we say and all that we do, go. Go with the grace of God, the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ, and the courage it takes to get up each day, to feel it in our guts, see every moment of our lives that comes from the Holy Spirit now and always. Alleluia. Amen.